2024.
Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 26 for real this time.
For real this time.
So the last time when we had William, the permaculture consultant, on, I stated that it was episode 26. Mm. And in reality, we had recorded episode 25 on our old crusty internet. And it was so terrible, we couldn't post it. And it was action-packed. And it was hilarious. And unfortunately, y'all will never get to experience it. Not even in the archives of the, it's not even on 4chan or anything like that. It's in the waste bin file because with it trashy connectivity, the audio was trashy, the video was trashy, and the hilarity ensues. So now we are Starlinked.
We are
on all the webs and the internets and all these things and the like and the such as. And so we're bringing you the quality that we know that you deserve. And welcome back to episode 26.
It's good to be here.
Yep. The end of 2023 is nigh. Some would like you to believe that the end of humanity is nigh. but maybe we'll talk about that. But yeah, so we're gonna jump right into it. And we've been busy here around the farm. I wanted to talk to about some of what we're doing here, and then also talk about what the boys are doing off the farm. They're incredibly industrious. They've been landing some bigger jobs.
Yeah.
They're accumulating assets here, not just fiat, but they're
physical assets,
hard assets, and they're investing in all these cool things. So
yeah, we can touch on that too.
Yeah. So the first thing that we did is, and we'll have videos coming out on all this on the main channel.
So our first segment of the show is around the farm.
Yep. So I saw a video by my very good friend, virtually so, David the Good, that I've never met in person, but someday soon, Lord willing. We will get to meet that. We had a trip planned and then it got canceled.
Yeah.
But we're gonna make it a point to that's gonna be a 2024 goal, is to meet David the Good and to meet many of you awesome people.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna be doing that. But I saw a video from David about, he's got a really big greenhouse.
Yes.
Probably double the size of mine. And he was talking about these plastic barrels. And so he got like these white plastic barrels, 40 or 50 gallon barrels, and he spray painted them black and he put water in them and explained the whole process. So I'm like, this is so awesome. So I went on our most beloved resource. Now, if any of y'all, if y'all are homesteaders, and holler if you hear me, if you are Craigslist addicts, but we are relatively speaking, I mean, we do find a few things on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
But when it comes to critters and farm equipment and trailers and different things, I would say the bulk of what we find it on Craigslist.
Yes. Yeah.
And
between Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, it's incredible what you can purchase and the deals that are always going on. And stuff that you can scoop up for pretty decent.
Half price.
Yeah. It's great.
So I found a guy not so far away, a really awesome guy named Ken. And Ken is in the Kilgore area. And he has all different kinds of awesome containers. He even has like water totes, like large water storage containers that I'm going to be getting for some of these, you know, rainwater collection and different things that we've been talking about. We're talking about using the pond, and when the pond is in excess, getting ready to hit the overflow, we're going to pump it out into water storage containers. Mm-hmm. So Ken has those containers for crazy cheap, like $350.
And we already got the big old semi-trash.
We got the semi-trash.
Yeah,
we can pump her.
Yeah.
So we have big the infrastructure. So went down there. I was looking for I was looking for plastic barrels, and then I'm like, oh, on my way back, I'll hit the hardware store, buy like the cheapest black spray paint. And I get there and I'm like, wait a minute, bro, you have black barrels. So I was like, $20 a piece.
That's awesome.
Pristine condition.
Yeah, and you don't got to worry about the spray paint ever peeling off or doing anything goofy, you know?
Yeah, and these barrels were brand new.
Yeah.
Two of the barrels had glycerin in it. Not nitroglycerin, y'all. Glycerin, like the... And then two of the barrels had auto laundry soap. So it's from a car wash. So it was just soap. And I'm not, we're not using these barrels to, this isn't potable or anything.
Nope.
We're just using these as a heat sinks.
That's it.
In the greenhouse. So I hurried up, put them in, filled them up. Because we've had two.
Chillier nights.
Relatively cold nights.
Yep.
The coldest nights that we've had so far consecutively, where it got down to at least 26. And this morning it was pretty awesome. So I lasered them. I thermometered them as the sun went down, and they had got to about 61, 62. And then in the morning, probably around 8, I went back in there and the greenhouse was still very cool. The greenhouse was definitely 50 degrees or whatever. And I shot the barrels and they were like between 58 and 60. And I'm like, wow. Now, if you shoot the top of the barrel, you get the warmer water.
Sure.
If you shoot the bottom of the barrel, it's a minimum of 10 degrees colder. And the cool thing about this is that these barrels will work as heat sinks both ways. So in the winter, they will absorb heat and slowly exhaust heat into the greenhouse. So I put the barrel side by side and I gathered all the larger plants around them that I want to, you know, keep warm. So this is completely, relatively, almost exclusively free heat. It's completely passive. It's idiot proof, which is great for me. I need something that's idiot proof. I tried last year. I tried a propane heater, which worked great, but man, it would go through $28 of propane a night. Yep. And I'm like, man, this isn't scalable. Like I can't think about, cause I want to have some tropical or maybe some subtropical trees in there. Right now I got a large moringa. I want to have some citrus in there. I have a VP, I have a variegated citrus in there right now, but I want to expand on the citrus, maybe a Suriname cherry or some really cool stuff like that. Maybe a mango if I can pull it off. And I'm thoroughly convinced that this barrel system is going to work. Now, the other fascinating thing about the barrel system, since the cold water is on the bottom, the hot water is on the top, is in the bombing heat of the summer, it's a thermal exchange again, and it'll actually regulate and cool the greenhouse. So it will extract the heat from the greenhouse. It'll be absorbed by the barrel. And then it regulates the temperature both ways. So it's just giving you a more moderate temperature. And so far, so good. I'm going to continue to monitor. I'm actively rooting in the greenhouse. I did expect this year that I have to bring all my cuttings in inside. And I was already making a contingency plan, and it's always a nightmare. This year I didn't do too many, but I usually do like way too many and I got to try to stick them everywhere. And then people are stepping on them and tripping on them. And it's like retard circus around here. And that's the way I do things. Yeah. So it's dumb. So this will be less dumb.
Yeah.
And
it's really neat.
And if you don't have a greenhouse, I mean, it will, if you like to grow things, it is a ultimate game changer, especially in the wintertime, because like today, so today the high outside was 54. The greenhouse got up to 100 easily, got up to 100. And now with these barrels in there, it's going to make it actually a little more moderate, which is kind of nice, because usually when it gets to 100, I'll open the door, maybe start to roll up the side. But I'm really kind of excited about this. If this works, I'm just going to continue to multiply the barrels.
Yeah.
And Ken said, "Hey, man, when I get more black ones, I'll call you." And I was like, "Perfect.
Oh, that's great. That's
And I shot the dark blue one, and it was considerably less hot on the top.
Yes.
Because these barrels, when I shot them at the top at like 10 o'clock, they almost were at 100.
Mm.
Wow. So they get very hot, which is cool.
That was neat.
So that's pretty exciting. And then the second really cool thing is the boys went to Texarkana. Mm-hmm. To buy a work trailer.
Yeah. We actually found that one. James found that one on Craigslist, or was that on Facebook Marketplace?
Marketplace.
I think it was on Marketplace, and it was a really good deal. We just started looking for one because our construction business has been growing really well. We run like a construction business / handyman do it all business too. So we do electrical, plumbing, and construction, and a little bit of AC, mini splits, and all types of
/ guys that show up on time.
Yeah.
And can communicate with you. Yep. And you understand what they're saying.
Oh, and we paint too. We kind of do everything. Yeah. So anyway, we're like, a couple weeks ago, we went out and they were running some amazing deals at Home Depot for some walkie packouts. So we were able to buy about $1,000 worth of Milwaukee packouts and then save $300 on that. So that was awesome. Big blessing. But now we have really expensive packouts in the back of the truck with all the Milwaukee tools in them. So, I mean, it's a lot of money tied up right there. So we're trying to figure out how to secure these things and lock them up when we're going to Home Depot or parking the truck somewhere and we're leaving it. And we're like, you know, it'd be so great because we've seen other people, once their businesses kind of start to expand, they get a work trailer, and it's just a box trailer and you can put all your tools in it. You can lock it up. People can't see what you have in there, you know, so they would have to be really greedy to try to break in. So the Lord blessed us with one yesterday. We found one for a really good deal. It was 2021. And the guy bought it before the previous owner bought it right as COVID was happening, and just only used it for like 3 months and then put it in his garage and then sold it to this other guy. And then we bought it off him. So the tires are brand new. The paint job's brand new. So it's awesome. Anyway, so James has big plans for it. He's going to be totally, it's going to be an off-grid kind of shop / storage for all of our tools, but they'll all be up on the walls and everything like that. So we're going to make a series about that. So me and James went out today actually, and we started buying some cabinetry grade plywood and 2x4s and different things like that, so we can start making shelves and hangers and all types of cool stuff like that. But anyway,
I had some ideas about the solar panels too.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get a big old 2000 watt battery and stick it on in there, and then throw some solar panels on the top possibly. And we'll be good to go. You know, when we show up to a job, we'll have all the power inside the trailer. And then if they do have power there, we're going to also have some backups so we can just plug right into the grid. And certain plugs in the trailer will be just direct feed from the grid. And then also when we bring the trailer home, also if it's overcast, we can plug it right in and it'll charge up the batteries too. And then also, really big blessing, while we went out to go get the trailer, we got the trailer. It was in a really, really nice neighborhood, and really big neighborhood up there. And we start driving back. And I'm like, what in the world are I'm talking piles of bags, and they were stuffed. So I stopped and looked out my window, and me and James were trying to figure out what the heck was in them. We're like, dude, those are leaves. This is great. And then I remembered, I was like, oh yeah, that's what people in the neighborhoods do when it's fall time. They bag their leaves and throw them away.
Yeah. You take good resources,
yeah,
and you throw them in the landfill where they stay for thousands of years.
So we just started going around the block. We just kept going. I'm like, this is awesome. We got 30 plus bags of leaves the one gentleman had six out at the street. And I was like, hey, is it okay if I take them? He's like, go for it. Go nuts. He's like, I got six more in the back. I'll go get them for you. I was like, okay, great. He's like, what the heck are you going to do with all this stuff? I'm like, we're going to mulch trees and make it into compost. He was like, oh, okay. You know, it's just funny how people are disconnected, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how it is, you know, and
they have such a precious resource and they just don't even know it. They're going to throw it away.
What's fascinating is it would be one thing if the municipality and some municipalities claim to do it. It would be one thing if your municipality was taking it to actually compost it, but these were in plastic trash bags, mm-hmm. and it's highly probable that these were going to a landfill.
Yep.
And I mean, how ironic and tragic is it that people are going to rake up a resource that's going to renew and regenerate their soil,
yeah,
and give them that green lawn that they so much deserve and desire. And they're going to throw it away, and yeah. it's going to become absolutely worthless, and it's going to actually take from their land, you know, but
I'll take it.
I'll take it too.
I'll take it.
It's great.
Free, you know, resources. They did all the work for me. It felt so gratifying just picking up all of, like, I know how hard it is to rake those things up and put them in the bags. And there's like dozens of them everywhere. And anyway, so we got home and we surprised Dad with it. And you've been saving up some cardboard.
Yeah.
And cardboard, that's what we did. We did a little bit of that today. And you just cut the cardboard, put it around the tree, and then just dump a big old bag.
Yeah, when you guys went to get material, I did quite a few more.
Awesome.
And I'll be able to finish them all tomorrow. So the entire back food forest will be mulched.
Sweet.
And we'll be ahead of these Texas weeds this year. And we're rather mild. I'm just thinking that this is going to be a year to remember when it comes to the old food 401k.
And it's been really gradual. We had the most beautiful fall ever. This year in Texas, whole entire time being here, it's been the most gradual winter ever since we've been down here for a decade that I can remember. All the leaves beautifully changed on the trees. They stayed on the trees for like weeks. North. Yeah. And it was great. I'm like driving around, like there's leaves on the trees,
seasonal.
You know, it's seasonal. Weird. It's great. So anyway, let's move on. We're going to move on to announce some sponsors of the show real quick here.
Yeah, before we move to the next segment, if you're looking for precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, what have you, please give Stacy a call. She will give you a price. Her number is 318-564-5823. Tell her the Texas Boy sent you. She's a Miles Franklin broker, and she's incredibly competitive. They are great friends of ours. Chris over at the Financial Prepper, they're great people. That's where we get our silver. And it's a very simple, easy, quick transaction at an incredibly reasonable price. And spot is still somehow reasonable. They continue to manipulate that. Take advantage of that manipulation and give Stacy a call and have her quote it for you.
Yep.
Then secondarily, as always, visit thetexasboys.com if you want some merch.
Sure.
If you want a shirt, maybe. If you want to make a statement.
Yeah. I'm the control group or... All Transformers are Decepticons.
All there Transformers are Decepticons. We may be talking about that later in the show. But so check out thetexasboys.com. We greatly appreciate the support, and it does enable the boys to do all the stuff they do. They bought another truck. They brought a trailer. Mm-hmm. They've used our social media to fund all of their business ventures.
Yep.
And they continue to parlay and reinvest it,
and we can bless the community with it, which is so great, you know.
Yeah. Okay. There we are.
Now we're back.
Good. That's great technology.
We're going to roll with it, though. We're going to roll with it. All right. I'm just going to go ahead. You can keep going. I'm just going to double check that our audio is still going here. All right. Our audio is good. All right.
Oh, thanks for checking that. Because I would just keep talking.
I know.
Like, oh, the audio went out, and that one's going to be trash, too.
I was like, uh-oh. All right. Let's move on.
That must have been a Starlink. burp.
The old Starlink. Thanks, Elon.
All right. So we talked about around the farm. Hey, how about a health check?
Sure. Health check.
So health check.
You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those of you that follow the channel, you know, we're carnivore, 204 days carnivore, family of eight. And I have encapsulative arthritis, which is what like disintegrated my left shoulder, degenerated it, had to get it scoped. 30-40% of my labrum's missing. Yeah. Had to get some major, four orthopedic surgeons told me I needed a shoulder replacement.
And they disconnected your bicep.
And they did a bicep tendinesis to give me more room in my shoulder. So that's been great fun. I got stem cells, which helped with the inflammation.
Yep.
In order to further help with that, I'm like, hey, let's do this carnivore thing. So I'm 200 days into the carnivore and eating lots of animal based, lots of eggs, carnivore coffee and all these different things. And I said, you know what? I'm feeling like this excess amount of inflammation in my back and neck. I think what I want to do is restrict my diet further. I think I'm going to go red meat only. And today is day six.
Okay.
And I'm almost one meal a day. Today I had two steaks. So
nice.
It wasn't quite. And the second one was a ribeye. And dude, it was fabulous.
I had one too. Six of them. That was amazing. They were actually on sale. And we got them for, I forget how much we got them for, $8 a pound or so.
$7 a pound.
$7 a pound. And then we got some top sirloin for $3 a pound. Yeah. So always be checking y'all's local grocery stores for
the deals.
After the holidays, they're always trying to push that stuff real quick, you know, because it's been sitting there all weekend long or all week long.
So day six in, inflammation in my neck and back are totally gone. Because what'll happen is that inflammation builds up.
Mm-hmm.
My neck gets out of joint. I got to go to the chiro. They crack me. It's good for about a week and the inflammation builds back up and it gets. But now, you know, when the inflammation's gone, it just cracks and moves. And when I do my inversion, everything goes click, click, click. Everything lines up, goes back. So I'm day six, red meat only, almost zero inflammation. My ketones are at like a 5.
Great.
And I'm feeling pretty optimal. We're just getting rid of this head cold thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing some weighted ruck running. I almost did a chin up.
That's great.
So I'm getting some.
How long has it been since you've been able to do a chin up?
That's been over a year.
Over a year.
Yeah. And I can't do an overhand. I can't do a pull up. It still feels like there's literally nothing there. Like there's no power there. I can do.
You still do your push ups.
Yeah. I can do a chin up. I can almost do one chin up.
Nice.
So I'm working on it. When I hit that milestone, I'll record it for y'all.
That's awesome.
And you can watch the old geezer guy do his grandpa workout.
Yeah, that's great. And real quick, I'll give you a little bit of a health check on me. Carnivore as well. Had an amazing ribeye tonight. Pretty much have been eating Nomad pretty much the whole entire time.
OMAD?
Is it OMAD?
One meal a day.
I always get Nomad internet.
Yes.
I always get that messed up. Anyway, except for like certain times, mom will make some eggs or bacon in the morning. And sometimes I feel like eating that. But for the most part, one meal a day. Been feeling really, really good. And yeah, actually, really, really cool deal is I actually been able to start to work out again because of my shoulder surgery. Feels incredible. Feels better than the first time I had my surgery done. Because what I was remembering back, even when I was 100% healed after the surgery for the first time, it still kind of felt clunky a little bit and loose and crunchy and just not perfect at all. Like I felt like somebody had been in there and worked on it. But now, since he's done fully reinforced my labrum, it just feels exactly like my other shoulder. And heal time was way, way faster, even though it was more aggressive this time, this surgery going in there and what he did. But yeah, it, I let it rest and I thought I was going to lose a lot of muscle mass. At least that's what I thought in my head. But then I probably would have maybe a little bit or a lot of it if we kept on with the whole vegging thing and everything like that. But being on this carnivore diet, it's been incredible. Been able to like just bulk pretty much and bulk on muscle, you know, and a little bit of fat there too. So it's been really great. So I started working out a couple days ago and the muscle memory came right back. It feels like I just pressed the unpause button from the last time I was working out. Strength's pretty much all there. Still a little bit, all the little micro muscles all around the shoulder are still a little shaky, you know, but pretty much all the muscle mass is totally there and the strength's totally there, which is very exciting to me. I just have to remember to take it slow, easy, you know, and because it is technically almost all the way healed, but still just to ease into it. So that's really exciting for me because that's a big deal to me is working out and getting stronger. And yeah, so that's my health check. Been doing good on the old carnivore diet. And man, if you could only eat those ribeyes every day,
oh man,
I'd be set. That's be set for life, man.
Breakfast of champions.
Right, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Man, I could eat that thing three times a day.
I could crush those. Woo. Boy, they're good.
But anyway, all right, let's move into.
So we have some interesting news that we want to discuss.
News segment.
And right off the bat, it was really funny because I think I had mentioned this. Oh, no, I remember what it was. We were watching a YouTuber, Matt. Who's the really fat guy, the Southern guy that's funny?
Oh, Matt, it's a Southern thing.
It's a Southern thing.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah there's, it's a Southern thing. And he's we love great. It because, you know, we're Southerners. And all the stereotypes are totally awesome. And he did like this 2023 recap. Uh-huh. And he was like interviewing 2024. It was very hilarious.
It was hilarious.
And he mentioned like the Chinese balloons. And I was like, that's so weird.
He mentioned a couple things. I'm like,
yeah, that you totally
wait a second.
Forget about.
That happened this year. I was like, dude, I totally forgot about that.
I'm like, Chinese balloons. And I'm like, isn't that so weird that
it was here? And then it's gone.
It was like this super big deal, and then you don't hear anything about it.
That was a lot of things this
year. Wait, look what I just found. And we even have a sound bite for this because we're talking about China.
So China, I have to have my China. China, China, because China, 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 China.
That's true. Thanks, China. Matt. You're really on the ball. All right, buddy. Two Chinese balloons.
Oh, yeah.
Spotted flying over Taiwan ahead of the island's nation's presidential election.
Uh-oh.
So once again, you know, China spying election, blah, 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 you know, World War III and like impressive technology, but the best they got is a weather balloon, you know, and
what the heck?
You should see the photo. It's great.
It's
military observers have spotted two Chinese balloons flying over Taiwan. I think they're both shaped like Pokemon. That's how they know they're Chinese. I think two Chinese balloons,
they have a big old TikTok logo on top of them. Yeah. Right on
flying
the side.
Over Taiwan ahead of the island's nation's presidential election. Yeah, because there's not like something like an internet or anything.
Nah.
No, you have to send a balloon up with some
snail mail.
1960 NASA data collection devices. I don't know. It's so funny. The balloons traveled from China and over the Taiwan Strait on December 17th and made a course to the north of the island nation. Taiwan's defense ministry said, as reported by ABC News. Oh, so good. It came via the propaganda. Mm-hmm. The ministry said the balloons reached an altitude of 27,000 feet, went east and disappeared at 9:36 a.m. and 4:35 p.m. And that is all just totally irrelevant information that means absolutely nothing. But, you know, when you include the times and the elevation, it's scientific, you know. So my scientism, you know.
Yeah.
Another Chinese balloon passed southwest of Keelung on December 7th. China has flown these balloons over the U.S., Europe, South America, and Taiwan. But the communist nation maintains the balloons were just used in weather data collection.
What the heck?
They're balloons, y'all. Taiwan's defense ministry also called them weather balloons. So this is a nothing burger, nothing story. I thought it was crazy. Hilarious. I thought it was funny because of the whole China balloon thing debacle earlier in the year. They're probably going to go into that. There's absolutely no reason to rehash any of that. Ugh. But it was so funny because I said to Matt, like, I literally think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, like, yeah, that's so weird. Like, whatever happened with the Chinese balloon things? And then what do you know? 12/26, we have two Chinese balloons spotted. And then, of course, they tie it to the election and all that nonsense. It's just like, I'm just waiting for Cyber Polygon, y'all. Okay. So that was the first one. I thought that was humorous. So yeah. I thought I'd interject that there. Second article says 3,000 doctors file lawsuit against Biden administration mandate requiring gender affirming care.
This is good news.
This is great news. This is why I wore my shirt.
That's awesome.
All Transformers are Decepticons. You can find that at thetexasboys.com. And a group of 3,000 doctors have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services over a mandate that will force them to provide children with so-called gender affirming care. The suit was filed by the Alliance Defending Freedom on behalf of the American College of Pediatricians, Catholic Medical Associations, and an OBGYN who focuses on adolescent care. The mandate expands the definition of the word sex in civil rights statutes to go beyond biology and encompass an individual's declared sexual orientation and gender identity as well. So it's incorporating newspeak and the new words from the dumb dictionary, you know, where you have to dumb it down and you have to invent stuff that isn't perceivable in reality.
Yep.
So that way, if you change the definitions and the words and the meanings, you can say whatever you want and say absolutely nothing and completely postmodernize Western society, Western culture, and you will post-truth and post-modernize both the country and the society. And that's where we're at. That's why we have like stuff like gender affirming and gender identity and sexual orientation, all these things that are void of any observable facts, let alone the fact that these poor kids are kids. And let them grow up before they make
tragic adult decisions. Yeah.
Let them become adults and then they can do all this barbaric stuff and pump their stuff through pharmacia and big pharma and become permanent recipients of more of big pharma's, not just, not just your immune system on demand, but now you can have your hormonal system on demand.
Yeah.
You know, well, they should really just extract the pituitary glands and their thyroid and just go full synthetic, full Decepticon. But, so that's good news. It's good that these doctors are at least standing up and fighting back. And it's good to see different states taking action against the butchering and mutilation of children. It's disgusting. And it's, you know, it's the fall. Rome is burning. Mm-hmm. This is a symptom.
Yep.
And, you know, it's sad that the children are pawns and these children are pawns in this political game of just this purple breathing nonsense.
Yep. Yep.
Here's other good news. Bear Santo, previously known as Monsanto, previously known as Bear, now known as Bear, Monsanto ordered to pay previously, before all that, known as IG Farben, Monsanto ordered to pay $857 million to seven people exposed to toxic forever chemicals.
Good.
Agrochemical giant Bear Santo has been ordered to pay a staggering $857 million. I still think that's like $2 trillion less than Alex Jones. I think $857 million to five former students and two parent volunteers of Sky Valley Education Center in Monroe, Washington, for exposing them to polychlorinated biphenyls. So this isn't even glyphosate. This is a whole new great, super awesome chemical that makes the world awesome.
PCBs.
This is BASF. This is better living through science and all this postmodern, post-industrial sludge.
Yeah.
You know, this is why people want to pursue permaculture. They want to pursue regenerative agriculture. They want to get back to the land. They want to get back to a slower, simpler way of life. They want to raise their own food. They want to know what's in it. And they want to know that PCBs are not in it, right? And then we can do these regenerative things and we can sequester. When you compost, right, there can be this different toxins and different things in your compost.
Yep.
And through that process, through the people that pay attention and do all the testing and the microscope work and all that stuff, they're seeing that this stuff can get broken down and absorb and neutralize, like with biochar. Biochar will sequester this kind of stuff and make it inert and different neat things like that. So, you know, all is not lost. But they, them, and those, and the transnational mega corporations and the crony capitalism, you know, they want to kill us. It's the slow kill that Catherine Nelson Fitz talks about. Started it well before the 90s, and it was a byproduct of World War II, basically. Yeah. PCBs banned from production in 79 due to their toxicity were commonly used in construction materials such as caulk light fixtures from the 50s to the 70s. The slow breakdown of PCBs, often referred to as forever chemicals, have resulted in lingering environmental exposure, particularly in schools, of which approximately 55,000 were constructed during the peak decades of PCB production. In other words, PCBs are still present in the environment even after being banned for decades. Carrie Hornbuckle, a professor of environmental engineering at the University of Iowa and an expert witness for the complaint, backed their claims. He emphasized the lasting impact of PCBs on schools, given that schools were built to last and they're not regularly modeled. Those materials still reside in the caulking around the windows and between the masonry and structural joints of the building. As a result, the jury awarded a total of $73 million in compensation and $784 million in punitive damages to the complainants. Henry Jones, an attorney of the plaintiff, told CBS, "No one who heard this evidence would ever change places with any of these people in exchange for all the money the jury awarded." However, Monsanto strongly disagreed with the verdict and announced their plans to appeal. "We disagree with the verdict and will pursue post-trial motions and appeals to get this verdict overturned and to reduce the constitutionally excessive damages awarded. The objective evidence in this case, including blood, air, and other tests, demonstrates that plaintiffs were not exposed to unsafe level of PCBs, and PCBs could not have caused their alleged injuries. Monsanto faces mounting legal battles while losing billions of dollars due to toxic products."
Good.
And if you want to go and listen to, I think it was me and Chris at the Financial Prepper, we talked about the book, The Great Taking, which you can find at thegreattaking.com. And you want to know about these punitive damages and these large companies and how they have synthetically redistributed stock ownership. You no longer get a stock certificate. You no longer own any stock. You are reserved the rights to the stock, but you are in a secondary or a third position. And who has the rights to these stocks? Like, say, if Monsanto gets penalized till they are no longer profitable and they go out of business, even if you own, which I don't know why anybody in the right mind would own Monsanto stock. Apparently many people do, you wouldn't even get the rights to the proceeds if Monsanto was liquidated, because you're in third position and they, them, and those, and SEC and all of those people at the top of the pyramid and the top of the, you know, so like if you looked at the back of the dollar bill and you see the all seeing eye at the top of the pyramid, it's all those, it's those handful of guys that are behind that all seeing eye on the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are all in line to get your money if you're playing in the stocks and the bonds and you're fettered with stocks and bonds in the synthetic.
And they all pull out before it crashes too.
Yeah. And they hold the first position. So they could even stay in. And they would still get all the money because they're in the pre-market. They're actually trading ahead of you and buying it and selling it to you for fractions more in the pre-market, which you're not allowed to do either because you're a pleb. So okay, so that's some more good news about Monsanto.
Yeah,
they're going to get they're getting sued over and over again. And isn't it neat how these mega corporations can like damage people and hurt people and give them cancer? And she's like, hey, look, you just pay your fine.
Yep.
Continue to pollute the environment. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the military industrial complex, drop your bombs, continue. Oh yeah. Freedom. And Israel and Palestine and Crimea and Ukraine, drop all your bombs. These people need freedom and, you know, pollute the world and never have to pay for it. You'll pay a couple penalties, you know, make $6 trillion and you'll have to pay like a couple hundred billion. Like who cares if you made $6 trillion, if you had to pay a couple hundred billion.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a drop in the bucket.
It's nothing. Yeah.
So there's Monsanto, some relatively good news there. And the last article is called, this was on Blacklist News, everybody loves a generous government until they have to pay for it. And this has been the question of the decade, at least for me, is when are we going to have to pay for this? When is the alchemy? When is this fiscal alchemy and the quantitative easing number 48 and then all of the derivative shenanigans and credit default swaps and fractional lending and then the removal of fractional lending to no fractional lending, like no fractional reserve required? Just arbitrarily
crazy,
unbelievable. So not only does everyone love getting free money, air quotes, from the state, they also love hearing the fantasy repeated endlessly that debts are no problem. And I was actually taught this when I went to college.
Really?
Yeah, I was taught Keynesian economics, and I was taught that as long, and this is kind of funny when I say it now, because it sounded good when they said it. They said, as long as the national debt does not exceed the gross domestic product, we'll be totally fine because John Maynard Keynes said so, kind of thing. And, but now y'all,
that's funny.
Now that is incredibly not true.
Incredibly.
The gross domestic product is far smaller than the national debt. And when you take into consideration, the unfunded pension liabilities, like, it is so staggering. And so we know that this is problematic, which is why we live the way that we live. It's why we prepare for rainy days and snowy days and rainless days and all kind of days.
Yeah.
And that's, it's another reason why we do our best to not rely on the government for absolutely anything. And quite inversely, we desire that the government stay absolutely as far away from us as possible. And if it pleases the crown, if they might leave us alone, that would be just wonderful.
Mm.
Governments, like individuals, can spend liberally with great generosity. I'm still waiting for that. Or they can be frugal. Everyone receiving government money loves the state's free spending generosity, as it is free money to the recipients. And the way you set this scam up is you give the free money to people that not only would never pay it back or could never pay it back, but just simply aren't going to pay it back.
Yep.
and you give them peanuts, and then you give all your cronies like the big bucks for their, you know, underground military bases and, you know, buying 200 and 300 acres on Maui and all that kind of cool stuff. But there's no such thing as truly free money. A reality discussed by Niccolo Machiavelli in his classic work on leadership and statecraft, The Prince, published in 1516, y'all. We're going back in history. In Machiavelli's terminologies, leaders could either pursue the positive reputation of being liberal in their spending, not liberal in a political sense, or suffer the negative reputation of being mean, i.e. miserly, tight-fisted, and frugal. So what is being demonstrated here is that this is the way that it has been done, and this has been observed clearly since before 1516. Machiavelli just wrote it down in his book here, so we understand how these things work and why they're done. And it's the same old, same old. Satan's still the prince in the power of the air. It's the old playbook, and it is just like Back to the Future number 8. You know, they can't come up with any new scripts. It's all retread, rehash,
copy paste.
I saw this Twitter post of all these sequels that are going to be this year. Oh, it's so retarded.
Oh, movie sequels?
It's total Idiocracy.
It is. It only and gets
the only thing that was funny is I can't believe they didn't have like Idiocracy 2 wasn't at the bottom of the
now
list.
Now what they do is it'll be another copy and paste of the same stupid movie, right? Just all they're doing nowadays is changing their genders.
Yeah, it'll be Purple Breather.
And their skin tones. Yeah. So that's all. That'll be the only change in the movie.
Yeah, and it'll be boring and stupid, and nobody will watch
all the
it.
Jokes will be stupid and dumb.
Not that we watch that trash anyway, but it's just kind of hilarious. You know,
I don't waste my brain cells on that.
It's getting
stuff
to be so ridiculous that nobody watches it. And then what's the point of doing it once nobody watches it? It's just like the sports ball stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Once we examine this necessary sequence of liberal spending, it turns out the generous government is anything but generous, as it is eventually forced to impoverish its people to support its spending. It is the miserly leader and state that is actually generous, for it is the miserly leader state that places a light burden on the earnings and livelihoods of the citizenry. As Machiavelli explained, taxes and the inflation that comes from with free spending both rob everyone, while the state's generosity is a political process that necessarily distributes the largesse asymmetrically. What is that? Wealth redistribution, which is what taxes are. I contend that our current artificial synthetic stock market is completely and totally wealth redistribution. Prove me wrong. If he is wise, he ought not to fear the reputation of being mean, for in time he will come to be more considered than if liberal, seeing that with his economy, his revenues are enough that he can defend himself against all attacks and is able to engage in enterprises without burdening his people. Thus it comes to pass that he exercises liberality towards all from whom he does not take, who are numberless, and meanness towards those whom he does not give, who are few. The profligate state and leader fail, for their resources are squandered. We have not seen great things done in our time except by those who have been considered mean. The rest have failed. A prince, therefore, provided that he is not to rob his subjects, that he can defend himself, that he does not become poor and abject, that he is not forced to become rapacious, ought to hold little account a reputation for being mean, for it is one of those vices which will enable him to govern. It's just talking about having some control and having some wisdom and being wise. And this had past tense a lot to do with fundamentals and free enterprise and free markets. Now, there's no such thing as free markets, free enterprise, or any of those things, because all of the underlying fundamentals have been shattered. And I mean, we don't even have fractional lending anymore, y'all. So we can't, and we can't even Chris was on. We did a live stream, and he was talking about he's doing some trading classes and he's doing some day trading and everything. Fundamentals have been completely gone. I was back in 2008. I was day trading and I was using this software, expensive software, and you could chart trade, and it had to do with the volume, and there was different triggers. And you had stuff called teacups and handles and all these different, but the software would analyze the stocks. It would analyze these different spreads and it would pick them for you. You know, you'd put in the parameters and it would pick them for you. And during that time, all of these different strategies inverted because the fundamentals were completely gone. They were shattered. Mm. And, you know, George Bush said, we have to abandon free market principles to save the free market. And I remember sitting on the couch and wasn't married that long at the time. And I was like, babe, if we abandon free market principles, we cease to be a free market. So that was way back in 2000.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again.
That's right, George. You're a good man. You're a good president. We appreciate you, buddy. Say hi to Obama for me. So, yeah, so this article, there's nothing new under the sun, y'all. And yeah, they're just pointing out what has been done. They point to the federal debt, the total public debt and inflation. The chart is unbelievable. And they want to worry about global warming and their fake hockey stick charts. This is a real hockey stick chart, y'all. It is unreal. And here's the reality of that. The chickens have to come home to roost. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know how it's going to manifest. We don't know how it's going to roll out. There will be repercussions. There is. My dad taught me something. He said, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And even though I haven't been eating this supposed free lunch, okay,
we're going to all have to pay.
We're all going to have to eat the free lunch. And it's going to cost us. And that's called, you know, being an adult. You know, it probably won't cost those that aren't good at adulting. And it won't cost those that have the purple hair. But for the responsible people in the room, we're the ones, the law-abiding citizens. We're the ones that are going to have to clean up this mess and figure out a parallel economy, a parallel society, and a parallel community. So it really makes sense to start doing that now. You know, we talk about these things. These are points to ponder, things to consider. Stuff to talk about, network about, think about, not to really dwell on. That's why we have the farm. That's why we have businesses and we're busy doing, producing. I mean, look, y'all, we got to be busy. We got to work. Somebody's got to pay.
Somebody's got to do it
for all these 200,000 illegal immigrants flooding our southern border. I mean, who else is going to buy them backpacks fully stocked with clothes and like debit cards with $5,000 on? I mean, who's going to do it?
Greg Abbott, I looked at an article. I didn't add it for this one. He's paying.
I hate Greg Abbott so
for plane to fly these immigrants.
He's letting this
happen. So he's literally paying for plane tickets for immigrants.
They're totally letting. Letting this happen. He's not using
those plane tickets are free.
Yeah, he's not using every tool in the Texas toolbox he can to actually fight this. And then they always want to say, Joe Biden.
He always blames it on Joe.
And like, dude, you're not doing everything you can do.
You are the governor.
Yeah, he's a traitor.
What the heck? He is
a traitor. Is there worse? Maybe.
Yes.
But there's nothing worse than a fake. And old wheels is his fake.
Oh, he is fake.
So
fake.
So with that being said, I think we hit all of our, we hit the around the farm. We had the health check. We hit in the news and
you want to tell them about the other segment that we want to eventually have on the show?
Yeah. We want to have a consistent segment of like viewer mail.
Yeah. For the podcast.
We want to read your comments. So look, one great way to leave comments is over at the Fountain app. So if you're subscribed, and the Fountain app just rolled out their brand new 1.0 update.
Oh,
and it is super tricked out, yeah. Very sleek and lean and neat, nice. And cool. And you can comment over there. You can drop sats.
Nice. SATs,
which is a derivation of Bitcoin. So, yep. And Fountain will also pay you for listening to your podcast over there. It randomly selects when you listen and they'll pay you sats, and it is a value for value over there. So you can leave comments on Fountain and we will respond to them. You can send us emails at countrytexasboys@gmail.com.
Yep.
We'll answer your questions.
Sure.
You can leave comments down below, and we want to get into a regular routine of answering questions.
Definitely.
Viewer mail.
Oh yeah.
So that is a question. That's a segment that we want to add, but we need y'all's feedback for the viewer mail. And we love and appreciate y'all. And this is value for value. So if you appreciate it, share this podcast.
Yeah.
Go to whatever.
Drop a 5-star review.
Please drop a review. Share it with your friends and family. Share it with your enemies. Share it with your frenemies.
There you go.
Share it with people that you just might want to just like, you know, incense them or something.
Listen to this. There you go.
But we love and appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. And remember, stay fearless, my friends.